Okay, y'all. Welcome to the Carter Podcast. Today we're going to talk about what happens if I don't step in. A lot of people will say, well, it's our job to step in. It's our duty if we see somebody going through something for us to engage with the person who is being harmed. Is that true, though? Let's take a step back and look at history. History teaches us that it's not others who harm us, but it's our own who harm us. And it's our own who turn on us. Well, Carter, how do you justify that? We go back to the slavery days when slaver owners wanted an African slave. They could not chase the African themselves because genetically they weren't fast enough to catch them. So what did they do? They had one of our own chase us down. Someone with similar genetic speed, built, someone they knew could keep up with the stamina of an African slave. They once told you in life, in order to catch a criminal, you must think like one. That is exactly what took place back in the day. Why would I waste my energy chasing something I could never catch on my own? Yet, if I put one of their own against them, it would be that much easier. We live in those times today. We call it black on black crime today. But black on black crime, I hate to say it, doesn't start in the streets, people. Black on black crime starts in the womb. Well, Carter, why would you say such a thing? Because it's an actual factual. When the abortion pill was used to give to African American women to stop the birth of children, that was the official black on black crime. It started with the mother destroying her own child from ever seeing life. We look at life today, and why is it that the family structure is so dysfunctional today? Yes, we can blame the crack epidemic. Yes, we can blame racism. But what we can't blame is stability. The African-American home was at its highest strength when the father and the mother were both in the same household raising their children, and they both had guidelines and rules that must have been followed at all times in that household. What happened? Well, the father decided he was going to become an alcoholic, a male gigolo, a dope addict. He no longer wanted to take on the responsibility of the house. He wanted to do him. The mother, she became the man and the woman. She becomes Miss Independent. She learns how to make something out of nothing. And then she does exactly what I'm about to tell you. Whatever she needed to make the ends meet. What does that mean? Whatever she needed to. Well, whatever the mother needed to do to make sure her children ate was simple. She would sell her body. She would work two or three jobs. She would steal. She would break down and cry, but she would adapt to her environment. Wow. Adapt to her environment. Meaning a man could beat her, rape her, do whatever he will with her, because her soul was broken. So as the law of the land of the jungle is not the same, or is it? When you look at the lion and the lioness, it is definitely just like human nature. Or is it? The lion's job is to protect the pride from all dangers, even those that look like him. The lioness's job was to teach the cubs, as they got older, how to survive on their own and how to survive together if something had ever happened to her or to the king. But even within inside your own pride, you will find the jealousy, the envy, and the thirst for power, such as it is in real life. They always say, how come Hispanic people live together for so long? Let's break down the Hispanic man's and woman's thought process. The thought process of the Hispanic man and woman is this: we will build together and we will take over what we need to take over, one household at a time. What do you mean? Sometimes you'll see 15 Hispanics live in one house. But as they live in that one house, they're putting their money together to make the house bigger. And then they'll look and see that there's another house on that same street that's for sale, and they'll go buy it. So now you go from 15 people living in one house to 7 people living in one house. They'll see another house. They'll buy that house. Now you go from 7 people to living in one house to 3, 3, 3. And then another person buys a house, and that person is one in their home alone, prepared to expand the home for their family. Until everybody owns something. We look at this in structure. They're not fighting each other. They're building each other up. White people always felt like they were privileged. You say, why is this, Carter? Not knowing that the white people that you see that are privileged had to start somewhere to become privileged. Ha. You mean to tell me in history there was no broke white people? I disagree. When you see white people handing something to their children, they don't hand it to every child they have. Keep in mind, they hand it to the child that stood by them and learned as they were going. They learned how to run a Fortune 500 club company. They learned how to expand the business. Now, that child that was out here doing drugs, They send him to the best rehab facility. That child was never looked at the same again. You'll never run the company. Oh, no, 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 no. You'll never run the company. Why? Because you've already proven that when pressure comes, you will revert to something to take your pain away. Hmm. Is that an educational move? No, that's a learning move of life. That is a learning move of life, is to always instill in your child the disappointment that you shown me taught me that I can never trust you to not fold under pressure again. You ask yourself, then when will they get the opportunity to prove that they can handle pressure? And the answer is simple. When they go out and build their own. You must go out and build your own foundation. You must go out and build your own name, your own reputation. You must be able to stand on business. Even more than that, you must be able to stand on your own word. Hmm. Can I run without being caught? Can I revert to something when the pressure gets to be too much? Is my faith going to be shaken when I lose everything? Is my God giving up on me when I give up on myself? Never mind what people think about you. Never mind how the culture is going to perceive you. You must go through the battle to know how to win the war. I heard a great man once say, even in the school system, bad behavior doesn't mean your child should be stuck in a special education class. Special education means that your child has a learning disability, and a learning disability does not mean your child can't be taught. So let's look at the infrastructure. When you wake up in the morning, your feet touch the ground, but before that, you stretch. You give yourself one of those good morning stretches, and you're looking around, you're wiping your eyes, and you stand up. Some of us give God his glory of waking us up, and we ask him, how are you doing this morning? And thank you for letting me wake up to see another day that you didn't have to do. You didn't have to, but you did. Right? Go to the bathroom, use the bathroom. We wash our face, brush our teeth, and put on some deodorant, hopefully. And we get dressed. Maybe we eat breakfast. We tell our family goodbye, have a great day. We get in our car, we start it, and we sit there, we put on a seatbelt. And then we begin our journey. We pull up to our job. We sit in the car for like another 2-3 minutes. Because we have to gather what's about to happen when we step outside of our vehicle. A lot of people will say, what do you mean? We have to gather our thoughts before we step out into what we call the real world. Is the boundary about to be broken when I step out of my car? Is somebody going to invade my space before I even get the clock in? Is somebody going to want me to give them information for free before I even get the clock in. And we have to tell ourselves, never mind what they think about me. I'm going to have to tell them to hold on because everything costs. Everything costs. We look at children and their mindset of why they talk back nowadays. And why do children act the way they act? And I'm going to explain it to you wholeheartedly, and I hope nobody takes offense to it, but if you do, then I'm talking to you. Your child, I can't say forgot how to be a child and have respect if you're always joking around with your kid and you're never teaching them the boundary levels. Children mimic what they see. If you're a gangster, thug, selling drugs and all that, and that's all your child sees, I'm sorry to say, but your child's going to prison, following your footsteps, take a bow and say congratulations. Say congratulations. Because your child, instead of having that parent nurture them, teaching them right from wrong, you taught them survival skills that only you were comfortable with having in your life. I seen a man say, I can never flip a burger. Never gonna happen for me, Carter. It ain't gonna happen. Why? Because I like big money. Wow. I like big money. Big money don't come with a 401k plan. I don't know if they taught y'all that, but it doesn't. Big money don't come with medical insurance. Big money doesn't come with stocks, shares. And big money don't come with a retirement plan. Take that back. It does. Big money comes with a death toll that you will die and somebody will take your big money and now it's their big money and the cycle will continue. I once told a man, I said, just because a person has a degree doesn't mean they're smarter than me. How do you build from the ground up if you've never been at the ground floor? Walking into a situation that's already made, already structured, already put in place, and you didn't have your hand in it, it's not yours. Somebody can say, this is my home. How? Your name's not on the deed. Just because you married somebody don't make it your home. If your name is not on the paperwork, when your wife dies or your husband dies, it goes to their next of kin, which is their children. And now you are stuck being homeless all over again. That's crazy, but that's reality. I tell people this. I had a person say, I want to get married. I say, show me what's going to be different in the marriage that's not the same right now as boyfriend and girlfriend. You want wife respect at the girlfriend rate. I want husband respect at the boyfriend rate. Yet the respect factor is nowhere to be found. So now that I marry you, all of a sudden your respect level goes up for me. No. We have to be clear on what's going on today. I had a little boy tell me at school, he said, Mr. Carter, you're the best person I know. Said, wow, what about your dad? He doesn't really talk to me. What about your mom? She's too busy doing her own thing. As he said that to me, I said, it's crazy how we'll go and hold on to somebody who just tells us good morning, because they've already shown us more love, kindness, and compassion than any person that's around us every day. More kindness and compassion and love than anybody that's around us today. Wow. What does life mean if we can't go to the ones that gave us life to talk about our problems? Hatred is a must in order for people to feel as if they belong. What do I mean by that? You ever seen somebody that's always in somebody else's business, but they can't control their own? They gotta hate on somebody else's lifestyle, somebody else's problem, because now they're no longer the center of attention. I don't care who it is. I'm the same person that I've been since the age of one that I am at the age of 47. The only thing that changed was I got taller. I got wiser. I gained some weight. But my mindset of treat people how you want people to treat you never changed. Stick up for those who can't stick up for themselves. That's never changed. It's never wavered. Teach people what it means to stand on what you say. Here's something that most men and women go through. If I'm trying to build myself to a plateau of greatness, and every time I'm trying to do something with an ideal I have, you have a problem with the idea that I have because you didn't help me come up with the idea, maybe it's time for me to let you go. What if I built you a company from the ground up? I came up with the name, slogan, what it means, and I gave it to you. Here you go. And I believe in you enough. Now, the hard part begins. The easy part was for me to come up with it. The hard part is now for you to take it and run with it. Because you see what I'm doing with my company. What happens then? Carter, why would you want to do a podcast where you talk about reality stuff? Because I'm a person that is not afraid to speak his mind. I once had a lady at work tell me, "You think you're above everything else." I said, "No. I'm clearly not above everything else, but I'm not afraid to tell you when you're in the wrong, because you will continue to make mistakes if I don't. Just like if I'm in the wrong, I need somebody to correct me so I don't continue to think what I'm doing is okay. But you must understand, ass kissing is not part of the bargain. And when I mean ass kissing ain't part of the bargain, I mean, I'm willing to just lose it all before I lose my dignity, my respect, or my integrity. I'll lose it all and start over somewhere else. Because in society that we live in today, if you give a person too much power too fast, they do not know how to handle it. They do not want to learn the ins and outs of why does a person act this way, talk this way, walk this way. They don't want to learn that. They want you to learn what they're about to say. I'm in charge. We're going to do it my way. Even though their way might be incorrect. Or some of their ways might be helpful, But some of the information you have may be helpful, but they won't take your advice. Because that means they have to actually look at life and say, damn, I need this person. I need them. I need their loyalty. I need their strength. Right? I never went to school for marketing, but I know how to get the job done. I didn't go to school for analytics, computer data, but if you show me, I can get the job done. Didn't go to school to be a principal, an assistant principal, a teacher. But it doesn't take much to know how to run something correctly without disrespecting others in the process. One thing I learned about principals, if I've learned nothing else, and I'm not saying this about all of them, but a good amount that I've ran into is if something's already put in place and it's not broken and you start changing it and it's breaking, that means what you're showing is wrong. How you want to do it is wrong. You have to sometimes just follow the blueprint. Now, if you found out that the test scores are low, and there's a way for you to hire them up by making kids come to school on Saturday and have them come to school on Saturday. But after 3 weeks, I have you here for three Saturdays and we're still in the same spot. We got to start looking at other things. You understand? I had a lady tell me, my child's in special ed, Carter. I said, special ed means your child has to be diagnosed with some kind of disability. And like I said earlier, said, no, my child's in there for behavior problems. Behavior problems does not equal special ed. Behavior problems means you haven't taught your child how to deal with their behavior and their anger. That's what that means. Where I work at, I have the respect of every child that I've ever come in contact with. A child can tear up a room and I walk in and say, are we finished? And just the look on my face, they already know that there's disappointment. They immediately want to start yelling to me what the problem is. But before I allow them to control the situation any longer, I tell them, hold on. They get quiet. I said, before you tell me what happened, we're going to get this mess cleaned up real quick. And I don't care if you got to raise your voice while you do it. It's going to get done. Once it's done, we sit down. I said, now, explain to me what happened. And once you're done listening to the child without interrupting them, you can finally give them tools that it will take to be successful the next time. But you know, in that process, what happens is the people or the powers to be, as we call them, are looking at, how is it this guy did this, and I pay y'all to do this, but he can walk in and do this with no problems? What are you doing wrong now? The best feeling in the world is when somebody up from the powers to be ask you, how did you control that situation so fast? Because you allowed the situation to get out of control, because once a person yells and you yell, neither one of you are now in position to control the situation. One has to yell higher than the other. Then you are now both frustrated. I'm not going to get frustrated because I'm already in control from the moment I walked in. You're either going to do it my way or I'm going to take from you for a long period of time something you want. Recess. Well, the kids, your field trip. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fix your problem so we could continue to have a great year. Same thing with adults. Sometimes when you try to talk to an adult, they don't want to talk because they only want to listen to the one person that they're scheduled to listen to, and that is the supervisor. And this is why so many people are fools. Because if you got to just go to the supervisor every time, guess what? The person that's been there longer than the supervisor and everybody else trying to keep you out of trouble is not going to say, you know what? Go figure it out. Go figure it out. And when you fail, don't come back, because I'm never going to help you. Because I'm trying now to help you. This is called a teaching tool. How do I move up in the company, Carter? You show people that they can depend on you when they can't depend on others. Well, Carter, I feel like because of my skin tone, I don't get the same opportunities as this. Well, there's times where you're going to feel like as a female or a male, you're not going to get the same opportunities because you're not female or male. Do I feel like I get the same opportunities because I'm a man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do I feel like I get the same opportunities because I don't have a college education? Absolutely not. But when it comes down to learning and knowing common sense, do I feel like I have a leg up? Yes. See, intimidation does nothing to a person who's not afraid. I grew up in the ghetto. I watched people get shot. I watched people die. I watched people be strung out on drugs. So I don't fear much in life. I watch people tell me, man, are you out of your motherfucking mind? Yes. Yes, I am. Because what makes you scared doesn't make me shake. That's why when somebody says, man, you can't talk to people like that. No, you can't talk to people like that. Because they've already made up in their mind that you're weak. They already made up in their mind that you're not able to stand on your own merit. They already made up in their mind that, oh, they're just here to please me. But he's over there. He's willing to tell me like this ain't right. The rules are different. For you, for me. But the rule book says I take loyalty over ass kissing any day. Because what if I'm doing something wrong and you're just like, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. It's wrong. Reality strikes when reality strikes. Thank you for listening to the Carter Podcast. Tune in to the next one. Morning. Welcome to the Carter Podcast. And today, I'm going to touch on something that's so near and dear to my heart. I have a sister named Melissa, and she's a great, great individual. She's a great person, a great entrepreneur. She's always trying to help everybody that she comes in contact with. April has become Child Awareness Month and Sexual Awareness Month. We have to first tap in to the first half of Child
awareness. Like, what does it mean to be aware of what's going on with not just your child, but other children? When you are looking at a child that's always happy, laughing, joking, running around, interacting with others, that is the child that you would love to see every single day. That is the child you want your children to be around because you know their vibe is different. But what happens when that child goes into non-communication, not eating? The child wants to be standoffish. You must tap into why. Why do children get abused by people that they hold near and dear to them to protect them? When it usually comes down to is when a mother or a father is going through a traumatic time in their life where they're no longer being the provider. The home is no longer intact. The battle of life itself is very, very difficult to deal with. It's almost a bully phase. When you look at a child who is innocent, it's just, I just want to love who loves me without being attacked because mommy left, daddy left. What did I do wrong? We must stop any and every child from being abused. A child does not have to stand by and be harmed because somebody forgot how to deal with life. When you tell your child, I love you, stand on that. Stand on that. I have a son who tells me at least 8 times a day, Dad, I love you. And I'll never let him go away from telling me that. Many people are like, why would you let him tell you so many times? Because that is the purity that he comes with. That is the freshness of his life, is to love unconditionally. When an argument happens in his life, he doesn't see it because it's been sheltered from him. Because what adults argue about, children should never be privileged to. Now, there is a difference between giving a spanking and abuse. And let me clarify that. I have a daughter who has a stepfather who I had to make the rules very clear. If my daughter acts up, you are not to discipline her physically. You call me or let her mom deal with it. Because a person who's not related to him can cause more harm than the person that is related to him. And I have made it clear, the day that my daughter tells me you laid hands on her, I'm going to beat the brakes off you. I'm willing to do every calendar day in prison for my kids. Every calendar day. And most people will say, well, where does that come from? And I'm going to tell you, give you 2 scenarios. My mother had a husband. He was a volatile man. Me and my sister spent most of the time when they were married fighting him to stay from hitting my mom, from hitting us. We'd fight him back. Why? Because that's all he knew. His mother and father fought. So when he got married the first time, his first wife fought till she put a bullet in him. Then when he got with my mom, who didn't really know too much about the man, the cycle continued. Little did he know, we don't play them games. We'll fight you back. You know what I'm saying? That was the volatile side of a man who didn't know how to love without violence. Little did he know, he had some kids around him that was with it. The second one is my father. My father had a wife, God rest her soul, I miss her to this day. But my stepmother, 2,000 miles away, would chastise me over the phone. 2,000 miles away, she would chastise me over the phone. If I was disrespectful to my mom, if I was acting up in school, she knew when I was acting up before I knew I was about to act up. So when I would call, and well, usually my mom would call and talk to my dad about how I was behaving. My father and me are like kind of the same person. My father, like, you know, guy, he's a boy, he's going to do these things. My stepmother was like, let me talk to him. The toughness that she displayed and the respect that she displayed verbally made me more disappointing than any physical contact that a person can give me. Because not only did she love me as much as my own mother did, but she let me know I was disappointing her by the actions that I was doing. There's times we would spend 2 hours on the phone and nobody would ever know. There was times I would shed tears and cry, and she would tell me it's okay to cry because if you don't cry, you're going to do something dumb. We have to go back to those days where children can count on somebody. Now, my father would tell you clearly he wasn't the sensitive type. And that's probably a problem with most men today with our children, that we don't show enough affection. My father will tell you straight up, I ain't telling you I love you unless you tell me first. He'll tell you straight up. And I was close to being that until I said I'll never be that. I always tell my sons and daughters I love them every day. Now he says it now, which is funny. But you have to be alert about what goes on with children. When a child tells you nothing's wrong, dig deeper. A step parent, it's just that. They stepped in because they thought you weren't around. I've been an active parent all the time. I don't care what nobody in this world says. If I'm paying you money to support my kids and if I'm a phone call away, I'm active. If you don't tell me that something's wrong, then that's on you. But I'm always active. Now, when a child is happy because they did something at school or they found something and it just excites them, be excited with them. Mothers, I want to say this to you because you guys are the main ones. Can't no man replace the joy and happiness of your children. I watched a man beat his stepdaughter on TV. I didn't watch it personally because I would have stepped in. But on TV, they said he beat the stepdaughter to the point that the mom watched and the little girl died. The father said, I'm going to get locked up because when I get locked up, I'm going to make sure I'm where you're at and you're going to go the same route. That's exactly how I would have did it. But let's talk. Can you be an awesome stepfather, stepmother, co-parenter to children that have been just tormented by other people? Absolutely. Do not be afraid to step in and say, hey, babe, we need to take these kids from this parent, because look, always check the child's body when you receive them from the other parent. You see bruises? You see anything that you think ain't right? Take them to the doctor immediately. There was times I used to videotape picking up my daughter and make sure she was all right. I didn't videotape checking her because I would have somebody else do that. But there was times like I would videotape how we interacted from the moment she walked out of her house until the moment she got in my car. Why? Because a lie becomes the truth if you tell it long enough. My daughter was always happy. Oh, Dad, I love you. Oh, Dad, can we go here? Yep. Even when I didn't have money. Do you understand the time that you spend with a child is more important than anything else? If you spend no time with a child, that's mental abuse if they want you. But there's the problem comes in when one parent is being devious. I had a baby mom who was the most devious woman on the planet. On the planet. Her husband was no better. Oh, she's sick. She can't go today. Well, I'll take her to the doctor because I paid for her medical anyway. So just let me have her. Because most times the abuse comes from the money aspect. Well, we're getting the money. He don't really need to see her. She don't really need to see her. You guys fight for what you believe in. Now, there are some of y'all out there who I 100% agree on. Just pay the money because it's not worth the headache of hearing the mom's or the dad's mouth all the time, because now they're mentally destroying you and making you feel like you don't matter as a parent. So now let's get to the sexual abuse of men and women. Notice I said men and women. Women are 9 times more to be sexually abused if they've already been sexually abused, because that's all they know. They don't know who to turn to. And they're usually abused by somebody in their family. A close relative. A grandfather, an uncle, an aunt. They will keep quiet for the sake of the family. They will not say anything because they don't want to destroy their mother's heart, their father's heart, the family. They don't want to say anything. They hold on to that. But they hold on to that so bad that every man they come in contact with, that they sleep with, they think that that's love. It's not. It's not love at all. As a man, there's times where I'll say, I don't even want to have sex. I just want to be a part of your presence. Because I want you to know that there's more to a relationship than you laying on your back. I want you to know that I love you for the person you are, not for what is in between your legs or on your chest. Women need to understand that when a man holds your hand, he doesn't want to go to bed with you. And if he does go to bed with you, he doesn't want to sex you. He just wants to hold you. What does she do now when it comes to her children? She's a lioness. She's overprotective, and she has to be. Not knowing that every person around is not going to harm them. But you have to protect what you don't know. Men. Men get sexually abused by relatives as well, friends. And we are not allowed to say anything, because if you are sexually molested by a man, they automatically put you in the category of being gay. And your manhood is now in jeopardy. We grow up knowing that if anyone ever tries to touch one of our kids, that we're going to prison. I would do everything I can to protect you from going through whatever it is I had to go through growing up. We look around and we say, why? Because power is what drives a predator. The fact that a predator can overpower somebody gives them the strength to say, I can do this to anybody. Oh, I'm a good person. I'll watch your kids. And the parents, not knowing anything about this person, just handed their children to a predator. Shh, don't say nothing. I'll give you candy. I'll buy you toys. Don't say nothing. Right? That's a predator's mentality. We are going to tell every child, if someone looks at you and you think it's uncomfortable, tell me. Because you can see it before I can. If someone touches you and you feel weird, tell me. Because I'll protect every person on this planet's child that's within my custody, care. And I will protect them as if they're my own child. That means the same rules apply for your kids that apply for mine. If someone touches your child or my child, I'm going to prison. Because I'm going to protect your child with my life and freedom. Understand. Someone abuses you, man or woman, it's only a matter of time before they abuse your children. It's only a matter of time before they abuse your children. Why? Because they see the weakness in you. Man or woman, understand, the first time somebody hits you, man or woman, woman on woman, man on man, you need to walk away, because the abuse is coming tenfold. your children, if you don't feel safe with your children being in the home with you, never mind how you feel about their father or their mother, hand them to them. I need them to come stay with you for a while until I get in a better situation. Please. Real man, real woman. Okay, bring them to me. I got you. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the money. We're not even going to do the money part. Don't worry. I ain't going to do. Just get in a better place. That's a real man. That's a real woman. Sometimes when you go to your family is working with the person that is beating the brakes off you because they are giving the person money. Don't believe me? Diary of a Mad Black Woman will show you. Why did I get married to show you? Tyler Perry showed you that greed, no matter what, supersedes parenting. Oh, you just jealous because your sister finally got somebody that's taking care of her. No, sister finally got somebody that's taking care of you, and you don't care about the punishment phase of it as long as you're good, as long as your pockets and your lifestyle is good. That's what happens in abuse. I don't care how much money a person makes. You ain't making enough for me to hand you my kid just to beat him so I can dress in Louis Vuitton, Gucci, and Prada. You ain't doing that. My children come first. Why? Because I can replace you. I can't replace them. They say, I'm doing the best I can, but I don't want to live in a shelter. They pay my bills. Wait, you want me to let somebody beat my children for a place to stay instead of going to a shelter that's going to provide us with an opportunity to be safe, fed, roof over our head, and get back on our feet? Now, I'm sorry, the shelter, here I come. Your dignity and pride go out the window when survival kicks in. When survival kicks in, your dignity and pride go out the window. The person that is disrespecting your whole way of life goes out the window, and you tell them never come around me again. And I'm sorry to say, you go get you something to change their mind. They usually got a little Deuce 5 at the store, and you make sure it's registered legally. That way, if you got a problem, you legally get rid of the problem. Legally. I remember when I was running around, my friend's mom would come and she would have black eyes all the time. And I had to be about 16. And she came by, and my mom would always like put sometimes like cold compresses, heat to try to get the swelling down. And her husband one day, he had to be about 130 pounds. He had to be about 5'11". At this point, I'm like 6'3", 190. And he walks in and he says, give me my wife before I beat you up to my mom. And all I remember was there was an iron skillet on the stove that my mom used to cook breakfast on. And when he said it, I remember what my father told me when I was just first born. Well, he told me a couple things, but this I can tell you because the other thing I can't tell you. He says, you protect your mother and your sister at all cost. And I remember hitting this man so hard with the skillet, it sounded like, long, 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 long. You know when you hit somebody and bang, 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 that noise? And I hit him, and I hit him. I said, you will beat on a woman, but you will never beat on a man. Well, when this neighborhood saw me giving it to him, I had a homeboy, God rest his soul, named Dwayne. He was younger than me. He ran up and he said, no, 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 I got him. And he dragged him and he beat him up some more. And then the man left. He called the police. The cops came. They saw the woman. They said, who did this? I said, sir, it was me. My friend was like, no, 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 no. I said, no, it was me. Because he was younger than I didn't want him to get in trouble. They said, good job. Good job. They looked at the woman and said, now, do you want to press charges? And she almost said no, because she feared that he would come and do harm to her family. She said yes. The man had 16 charges from 16 different women, and this is the time you caught him after he got Molly whopped. What I'm saying to you to say this is, I don't believe in physical violence all the time, but there's a time and a place for it. protection from predators. Protection from predators. We must watch our children when they're on social media sites, when they're getting bullied at school, and the schools are doing nothing to protect them. I heard a lady at a school that one of my kids go to say, well, once they step off school property, they're no longer our problem. Wow. Because that money don't stop once they leave school property. That's why I'm glad at the school I work at, it don't stop till we drop them off to you. We responsible until we drop them off to you. But the principal says the moment they are our boundaries line at the school stop, our protection stops. Really? So you just let predators get them after that. That's why my daughter won't be returning next year. Because if we're not protecting our children at all costs, what kind of adults have we become? What kind of adults have we become? I grew up between Elmira, New York and San Antonio, Texas. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody in Elmira, New York knew all of my siblings' names, my parents' names, my grandparents' and my auntie's names. You could leave the door unlocked. And if they saw you outside past a certain time, they're like, I'm calling your parents. Because it took a village to raise us all. When I moved to Texas, we moved into the east side. Some volatile stuff. I was like, good Lord. Mom, you sure we ain't safer in New York? But I had to adapt to my surroundings and my environment. But everybody knew my name. Hey, yo, such and such is your mama? Yeah, get in the house. It's almost 9 o'clock. You see that street light on, don't you, young man? Yeah. Hey, matter of fact, yo, walk him home. The next day he saw me outside, he said, hey, what time you supposed to be inside? I said, before that street light come on. He said, that's right, young man. It's sad when the drug dealer cared more about my safety than everybody else other than my mama. Some of my family members let me stay out till 11 o'clock when they knew my mom was still there. Hey, man, come on in. The drug dealer didn't. He knew where he came from and he wasn't going to let another young man go down that route. He wasn't. I got 32 nieces and nephews, maybe even more, but 32 I can count. Every time one of them gets into something and I get that phone call, I have that conversation with them. Do I need to catch a flight? Do I need to drive around the corner? Do I need to get you right? You know why? Because I've been through some stuff that I ain't gonna let no predator ever get one of them. Family first. And family don't mean somebody that shares your DNA. Family means if I love you enough to protect you and you love me enough to protect me, we are family. I had somebody say, dang dog, you help all these kids. Why? Because there was a time when somebody came and helped me. It was a man that I'll never forget, God rest his soul, named Mr. McVeigh. I was in high school, alternative high school, because I was getting in so many fights. And he said, let me tell you something, young man. I get a check whether I work here or not, and I'm not going to let you blow your opportunity to graduate. Basketball star, football star, you name it. He said, you don't throw the first punch, but when they throw it, you make sure they miss and then you give it to them. Because I was getting suspended because I believe if you do too much talking, you don't really want to fight. I really want to fight, so let's get it on. The predator would come to me, which is the bully. A bully is a predator. And he would be like, well, what's up? So I would just swing first. Bow. And he told me, you got to learn when not to fight. I have my oldest sister. Some guys would bully her because she was dark complected. See, there's all types of predatory acts. There's all types of abuse, mental abuse. My sister would go through mental abuse because she was darker than everybody else. And I remember one day she came home crying. She was like, man, they called me the N-word. They're calling me a coon. They were mentally destroying my sister, who was very educated, smart. She could speak Spanish. I think like two other languages on top of that. And one day I said, what time do you get out of school? And she said she got out at 3:30. No, she got out at 4 o'clock. Well, I got out of school at 3:30. And I said, stay at your school and I'm coming. She was like a 10th grader at the time. And I was like in 8th grade. And I left school early because, you know, when you check in the class, they check you in. And I left. I got on my bike. I rode all the way to her school. I said, come on, walk and I'm going to be behind you. I had a stick with some tape on it because I was about that life. She's walking home and these two boys come and they calling all kind of names. Well, I put my bike down. I said, why are you messing with this girl? And my sister looked and had this smirk on her face because she knew what was about to happen. Man, get up. Pow. Just smacked him in the head. Pow. Smacked the other one in the face. Why? Not because she's just my sister, but because she got the right to go to school and not be bullied by anybody. Both of them had to get stitches, staples. My mom gets called. I'm at the juvenile center. My mom, I'm thinking, is going to give me the lashing of my life. My sister goes home with my bike. She's like, yo, they have brother. They locking him up. And my mom, she said, why? And my sister said he was protecting me. See, I was doing what my father told me to do. If it takes your freedom, protect your family from any and everything that is not right. Predatory acts. You have to be prepared. Any one of my sisters can call me at a drop of a dime. I'm on my way. Why? Because you shouldn't have to fight no man. Your children shouldn't have to fight no man. But if you one of them ones that, like, I go fix your problem and you invite the problem back, it's your problem from here on out. It ain't your kid's problem, but it's your problem from here on out. Because if I get the predator away from you and you keep bringing the predator back, then you like it. Go ahead. Now, if the predator's stalking you, well, we got ways to deal with that too. Right? They tell you, call the police. What if the predator is cool with the police? We never think of that. What if the predator is cool with the police? See, now you got to be like, okay, give me the report. You ever seen a police officer look at you when you ask for the report? Hey, give me the report. What report? The one that you post to write when you come make contact with somebody. That report. Oh, well, we didn't write it. Oh, you didn't write it? So I'm going to sue you too. Because my life is on the line. You know what they do? They go write that report. Hand it to you. See, I believe in putting a restraining order or a protection order against a person. Because if you continue to keep doing predatory acts, I believe, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I believe in sending you where you must. You feel me? Because it doesn't always have to end the way it began. If it began violent, it don't have to end violent unless you want it to. Understand. When we say, let's talk, that's exactly what it means, a conversation. You don't have to like everything I'm saying, but please, let me get it off my chest so I can let you get it off your chest so we can now come to a mutual common ground to fix whatever's bothering us. If you're just saying something and I can't say nothing, you're a bully, that's a predatory act. That's mental abuse. You ever see people in relationships trying to fix a problem that neither one of them know where the problem is at? A problem happens when you don't let the past go, right? So now you're both stuck in the past. My favorite thing I hear a person say is, I'll find somebody that can treat me better. Well, how about are you going to treat them better? Because everybody's going to have problems. You think you're going to be in the best relationship and there's no problems? It's not going to happen. Love a person enough to tell them, like, this is what's bothering me. You're a bully. I'm a bully? Yeah. Well, explain so I can get out of this bully nature. You have to treat your children the same way. Mom, Dad, I feel like this is about to happen. My daughter told me one day, she called me crying from school. Dad, they're going to jump me. No, they not. I'm on my way. Pulled up to her school. I went inside and told the principal, my daughter's being bullied. What are you going to do? Well, if they're yelling at each other, If they're yelling at each other, what? You mean to tell me you saw two kids yelling at each other and you didn't ask, why is this going on? And you just sent them to class? It's the most raggediest school my daughter's ever been at. She won't be returning. Why? Because the whole school is nothing but a bunch of predatory bullies. And a bully never fights nobody their size. They always fight somebody smaller. Because they think that's funny. But the school's so wound up in the money, they'll let your child be bullied. But like I tell everybody, everybody's a bully till a bully shows up. Where I worked at, there was a person, he used to be the biggest bully. The biggest bully. But you also got to know a bully, aka predator, knows who to play with. I'm telling you, you got to go wipe tables and pointing a finger at you. Telling me I'm a grown up before I'm anything else and you will treat me as such, or we will go outside and have a different conversation because I don't love this job more than I love me. Facts. God didn't stop making jobs because this one was created. He didn't stop making jobs because this one was created. Some of the most dumbest people are people with degrees. Because their predatory status is, I'm better than you because I went to school and got in the day. But I got a piece of paper that says, I can tell you what I want. No, the hell you can't. Stop your predatory behavior. Some of the smartest people I know came from prison. Because they went through something. You ever seen somebody who ain't ever been through nothing? How can they tell you how to survive if they ain't been through nothing? They can tell you how not to get caught. Allegedly. But the predatory behavior of a person who goes through something, who had to survive and fight every day for their freedom and their life, boy, that hit different. That hit different. I used to joke with my sister. I say, hey, what is this place you stay at? I said, this old David Koresh. I used to call it the David Koresh because I didn't know enough information about it. Like, it had a big old door gate. You couldn't even get in unless they let you in. I was like, what kind of cult shit is this? But let me explain something to you. That place changed my sister for the best. I didn't like that she could only marry a black man that was darker. I didn't like that. But I love my brother-in-law all the same. But I didn't like how they pieced her together with somebody, because without them piecing her together, I wouldn't have my nephew. But my sister is an intelligent woman. Notice I didn't say a black woman or a white woman. She's an intelligent woman because she went through some shit. And when she went through it, she came out the other side better. I used to crack jokes, man. Damn, David Koresh. I she got married there at the place, and I'm looking at my dad like, what in the hell? And my little sister looking at me, and then I'm doing everything in my power not to laugh, because I'm like, hell nah. But when you don't know, you don't know. And I had to get out of my own way and say, you know what? Look at her now. Got a master's degree. She teaches. She does all kind of great things. And I'm proud of her daily. Because she could have just said, this is it. I'm just going to do this. No. She went through some shit. And now she's helping everybody. My father went from being an alcoholic, weed smoker, cigarette packs a day. My mama went through the same thing. And now look at him, a deacon and a minister of a church. See, God got it on his time. He said, that predatory behavior y'all doing, y'all praying to that bottle, y'all praying to them cigarettes, that weed, y'all praying to that predatory money. Let me get y'all back where y'all need to be at. Most loving people I know. There's times when I have to sit back and get out of my own way. I used to cry because I wanted the love of what my great-grandparents had. I wanted to love so bad that my predatory ways, when I say predatory ways, that means I thought having a bunch of females around me was the key to success. till I realized you can have one that does a job of 30. But one thing I will never do, and I'm going to say this before I get off here. One thing I don't want any man or woman to do is compromise themselves for happiness. Do not compromise yourself for happiness or stability. What's meant to be will be. Somebody needs a break from you, give it to them. You need a break from somebody, give it to them. But if you break for a long period of time and something better comes along, then don't look back, because you already know what you got over there. If they was really supposed to hold you down, they would call you and say, you know what, let's figure this out together. Some people need that attention from others, where some just need attention from one, the person they're with. Thank y'all for being part of the Carter Podcast. And the next podcast that we're going to talk about, hopefully is tomorrow, we're going to talk about people who get out of prison and are still not where they want to be, but where they got to be. Y'all be safe.